so hard to live with someone unless you're having sex.
April and I were lovers for 5 years. Oh my God. Why did you make me your maid of honor, huh? Did you want to stick the knife in and rip my heart out a little more?
We don't know who we are, but we never felt more alive.
It's got to be about love.
And your company was just the thing I needed tonight.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Phony pedophilia charges block queer groups' quest for UN status, lesbian love and laughter rain down in April's shower, and an Irish duo, a Canadian solo, and an L.A. balladeer fill the audio file. All that and more this week, because you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending January 28, 2006. The United Nations Economic and Social Council this week denied consultative status to the International Lesbian and Gay Association, or ILGA, and to the Danish National Association for Gays and Lesbians. The two groups' applications were summarily dismissed without a hearing. There are almost 3,000 non-governmental organizations with such status, enabling them to distribute documents to meetings of the council. Queer organizations can't seem to shake the pedophilia connection in the world body. Several years ago, ILGA ejected from membership the North American Man-Boy Love Association, whose affiliation was thought to be the reason ILGA's previous consultative status application was denied. Nevertheless, charges of supporting pedophilia continue to dog queer groups' efforts to join any UN dialogue on GLBT rights issues. In a reversal of the Bush administration's previous support, the United States joined Cameroon, China, Cuba, Egypt, Iran, Pakistan, the Russian Federation, Senegal, Sudan, and Zimbabwe in rejecting this latest bid. Voting in favor of holding hearings were Chile, France, Germany, Peru, and Romania. German delegate Martin Tummel said about the denial of ILGA's application that those delegations that claim that this organization is supporting pedophilia are using this as a pretext in order to shirk the real issues of sexual orientation. Said Matt Foreman, executive director of the U.S. National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, "It is an absolute outrage that the United States has chosen to align itself with tyrants, all in a sickening effort to smother voices of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people around the world." His was among some 40 organizations, including Amnesty International, Human Rights Watch, the U.S. Human Rights Campaign, and the San Francisco-based International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, to send a letter to U.S. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice demanding an explanation from the Bush administration for its policy reversal.
Canadians ended 12 years of Liberal Party rule in federal elections this week, responding to Conservative Party leader Stephen Harper's promises of a corruption-free government, a crackdown on crime, and lower taxes. Harper's campaign also called for repealing marriage equality, with another vote in Parliament on what had been considered by many to be a settled issue. The Conservatives fell short by about 30 votes of a legislative majority, however, so Harper will have to rely on the support of at least one opposition party to get anything done. Prime Minister Paul Martin immediately announced that he will step down as Liberal Party leader. He led the successful effort to legislate marriage equality in Parliament last year, following the Canadian Supreme Court's order to do so, but his administration was clouded for months by corruption scandals. Some queer activists had issued dire warnings that a conservative win would be disastrous for GLBT people. Several political pundits, however, are predicting a fairly quick move toward revisiting the marriage equality issue in Parliament to satisfy right-wing elements among Harper's base, but that there's probably not enough legislative support for repeal. This Way Out correspondent Heather Kitching in Vancouver, B.C. will have more next week on the impact of Harper's win on GLBT communities in Canada.
The firestorm over blood donations by gay men in South Africa has the country's Human Rights Commission weighing in on behalf of those who want to donate. The blood ban has prompted new protests from queer rights groups, and the commission issued a statement this week saying it believes a ban should not be in place. Commissioner Leon Wessels said that until there is solid evidence pointing to HIV/AIDS prevalence in South Africa's gay communities, there was no reason to bar them from giving blood. Studies from the United Nations and the World Health Organization indicate that the majority of those who have HIV/AIDS in sub-Saharan Africa are women, many of whom contracted the disease from their husbands. Wessels was joined by many other activist groups who insist that exclusions from blood donations should be made on the basis of scientific evidence and not on social pressures. Wessels suggested that since previous efforts to change the policy had not gone far, activists may need to call on the courts. The South African National Blood Service also issued a press release this week disputing claims by the controversial Gay and Lesbian Alliance that it had organized the donation of more than 600 pints of blood by gay men to protest the ban. Spokespersons for the blood service charged that it was statistically impossible that the group had been responsible for such donations, as there was no increase in the donations during the claimed period, nor could donations be traced back to any member of the group. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance is largely discredited and derided, even within GLBT communities in South Africa.
In New Zealand, it's a ban on donations of another kind that has riled queer activists. A man in Wellington, who has remained anonymous, says he was discriminated against when the Fertility Associates Sperm Bank rejected him as a donor simply because he's gay. He had decided to donate sperm after hearing recent reports about a shortage of donors and was shocked when the clinic informed him that they could not accept a donation from him. Dr. Richard Fisher of Fertility Associates noted that Australian regulations, aimed in part at stopping the spread of HIV, control the licensing of sperm banks in both Australia and New Zealand. He said he's requested a review of the policy on several occasions because he believes that technology has sufficiently advanced to protect recipients of such donations from HIV infection. But he says the Reproductive Technologies Accreditation Committee had not changed its policy requiring all donors to be heterosexual. Fisher added, however, that his company did accept donations from gay men with the explicit consent of the recipient. Wellington attorney Tony Ellis, who chairs the Council for Civil Liberties, said considering that the donated sperm is tested, the regulations are based on an irrational homophobic fear. New Zealand's Human Rights Commission said that it would pursue the Wellington man's complaint as a dispute resolution matter.
About 150 African-American religious leaders from across the country met in Atlanta, Georgia this week to combat what they say is widespread prejudice against gay men and lesbians within black churches. The unprecedented event was organized by the D.C.-based National Black Justice Coalition, an advocacy group for gay men and lesbians. While African Americans in general are seen as supporting liberal candidates for public office and a broadly progressive agenda, homosexuality, especially within historically black churches, has been a divisive issue. At the conference, one-time Democratic presidential candidate, the Reverend Al Sharpton, lamented the increase in the number of black voters who sided with President Bush in the 2004 election. He charged that Republicans had successfully emphasized homophobic issues to distract voters from Bush's failures in health care, combating poverty, and the war in Iraq. "So they did what they always do," Sharpton said, "and reached for the bigotry against gay and lesbian people." The Reverend Timothy McDonald, pastor of the First Icomium Baptist Church in Atlanta, said of his decision to host the conference, "This is a learning experience, and it has not been without costs. Have we gotten nasty phone calls? Yes. Do I have the marks to show for it? Yes. But I think Jesus took some unpopular stances, too." Organizers of the conference said attendees need to meet with clergy members, friends, and family to begin a discussion of homosexuality at their churches, but that change is expected to be slow.
And finally, two U.S. states went in opposite directions on queer equality issues this week. The Virginia legislature overwhelmingly voted to place on the ballot a proposed amendment to the Commonwealth's Constitution that would define marriage as exclusively heterosexual. It would also ban recognition of any forms of legal unions contracted elsewhere that approximate the design, qualities, significance, or effects of marriage. Critics warn that the measure is so broadly worded that it could undermine contracts affecting unmarried people, including heterosexuals. Among the examples cited were insurance and joint ownership of property. Proponents claim that even though Virginia already outlaws same-gender marriage, the amendment is necessary to preemptively counter possible future court rulings in their favor. State anti-marriage amendments will also be on the ballot this year in South Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and South Dakota.
However, while it took 3 decades, queers in the state of Washington are finally getting protections against employment and housing discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. The most recent effort failed by 1 vote in the state Senate during its last legislative session, but it won by 2 votes this week and was approved by a 61-37 margin in less than 5 minutes in the House. Well over half the states in the U.S. still do not grant their GLBT citizens such basic anti-bias protections, nor does the federal government. Speaking to a packed and jubilant crowd at the Washington State Capitol in Olympia, Democratic Governor Christine Gregoire pledged to sign the bill and to continue to fight discrimination both in and out of office. Religious conservatives have threatened boycotts against some of the state's biggest companies that supported the bill, including Boeing, Nike, Hewlett-Packard, and, in a turnaround from its much-criticized neutral stance last year, Microsoft. The legislative balance tipped earlier this month when a staunch opponent, Senator Bill Finkbeiner of Kirkland, said that he would join most Democrats to vote in favor of the bill. He was the only Republican to do so, while 2 Democrats opposed it. What the debate is about is whether it's okay to be gay or lesbian in the state, Finkbeiner told his colleagues. People don't choose this. People don't choose who they love. The heart chooses.
That's NewsWrap for the week ending January 28, 2006. Written this week by John Beaupre and Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm John Beaupre.
And I'm Sherry Lund.
If you're going to dream on when you find one of the ones, it's got to be about love. Later in the program.
Come on in, have something sweet.
It was a Film Fest fave last year, and now April's Shower is combining a U.S. theatrical release with simultaneous screenings on Here TV pay-per-view. This Way Out's Steve Pride has preview clips and talks with the madcap lesbian movies writer, director, and star Trish Doolin about love, romance, and community.
Actress Trish Doolin lights up a room.
Meeting her for the first time is like hanging out with a childhood buddy, so it's no surprise that for her first feature as a writer-director, she found her financing and cast, for the most part, among her large circle of friends. And it's no surprise the movie April's Shower is about family, friends, lovers, and food.
Hi, I'm Trish Doolin, writer-director and star of April Shower.
So, Polly, what is it in a girl that makes her right for asking?
When I first met April, she was just so open and loving, and I knew immediately that she would make the perfect wife and mother to all our children.
Alex is throwing a bridal shower for her so-called best friend, April. And in the process, we see Alex is very distraught. She's crying. She's upset.
Talk to me. Something is awry. I can sense it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I love April, but let's face it. She's a control freak.
Yeah, totally. Big time.
Yeah, and who does she ask to be her maid of honor? Me. I can't believe she asked me.
Well, you guys used to be inseparable. I mean, what happened?
Well, you know how friends are. You change, they change. You go your separate ways.
Yeah. Well, you know, sometimes it's good. It's healthy. Especially since you guys used to be roommates. So hard to live with someone. Unless you're having sex. Then it's easier to put up with all the little annoyances.
The friends start to arrive one by one. One is nuttier than the next.
So who's come to this soiree today?
Oh, well, Sophie, Kelly, Paulie's sister, Spring Dawn.
Ooh. Spring Dawn? What the hell kind of name is that?
Oh, probably a child of the 60s. You know, flower power, that whole thing.
No. You guys, she changed her name because she became a porn star.
Everything's kind of like going along, and they're all, as they do at showers, pampering the bride-to-be and how perfect her fiancé is and how wonderful her life is going to be. And Alex kind of can't take it anymore. So she just blurts out,
April and I were lovers for 5 years.
Oh my God.
Why did you make me your maid of honor, huh? Did you want to stick the knife in and rip my heart out a little more?
Can we go someplace and talk, please?
Oh, yeah, somewhere quiet where nobody could hear or see us, like a closet?
Alex, come on.
April, I want to talk to you.
In a second,
I need to talk to you now.
Mom, I need to talk to her.
Why don't you tell me you had a problem? I could have helped you.
Problem? What kind of problem?
Obviously, there was something wrong with you.
Now, look, maybe it's a chemical imbalance. I don't know. But if you could have come to me, I would have helped you. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Mom, you are so screwed up. Hey, I'm not the one sleeping with women.
And then everything turns upside down in the shower. for everybody. And April has to decide what she's going to do. Is she going to go marry someone that she's not in love with, or is she going to fight and follow her heart?
I wasn't sleeping with women, Mom. I was in love with Alex.
Oh, God, don't be ridiculous. You're not in love with her. That's ridiculous. No, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, maybe not to you, but it was the one and the only thing in my entire life that actually did make sense.
While that is the plot of the comedic film, Doolin says she hopes April's Shower is about a lot more.
April's Shower is about being in your truth, not thinking and feeling and living for society, your family, whoever. It's about taking a stand and really following your heart. In the movie, it happens to a few different characters. Everybody is changed that day because of Alex exposing a secret between her and April in front of everybody that they've been hiding for a long time. And I think the reason people keep secrets and hide is because they're afraid of the outcome. A lot of people actually feel like, oh my God, if somebody knows this, I'll just die. They really, really feel like that, especially if you're raised Catholic. If you're Catholic, if you're Jewish, whatever, you carry a certain amount of guilt and fear. I think it's instilled in you, in your household. And, you know, you hear your parents talking about certain things. Gay is this and gay is that, or, you know, abortion is this. Or so you go, oh, my God, I'm a sinner and I could never tell anybody anything and I'm a bad person. And so it's just April Shower is about all these like wacky people coming to different truths in their life.
Have you ever kissed a girl?
Now, where's the logic there? How's that going to get me pregnant?
Have you ever kissed a girl?
Yeah, sometimes I have to. It's part of the job.
What job?
Well, I am in the adult film business.
Wow! April is marrying into a showbiz family. God, how I envy her life!
You know, I come from Irish, Italian, Catholic, six kids. I'm the only one in my family who's gay. Everybody's as straight as you could be. And we could all be together. We could all coexist together. And it shouldn't have to be where we have to all live in our own little boxes, in our own little groups, because there's some wonderful gay people, there's wonderful straight people, there's wonderful Jewish people, Catholic people, Black people, Spanish people, and we can all live together and love each other. And that's what it is about, because we all have a heart, and we all have a soul, and we all have feelings, and we all go through the same things. I mean, so why separate everybody?
Trish Doolin has been performing nearly all her life, but the jump to writer and director was not only about serving her muse. It was also about taking charge of her career as an actress.
I basically got into the acting business when I was three. Had my SAG card when I was three, started modeling and acting, and then I kind of ventured out here to get a pilot or a series or something like that, and I never went back. So I found myself doing stand-up comedy, writing my own material, and a lot of people were saying, wow, this is funny, and I found writing to be something that was always coming to me. Like, I always get ideas. So I'm like a real idea person. And I started writing a lot and people were responding to that. And I said, hey, let me write some parts for me. That's kind of how April Shower came about. You know, I just wanted to write a part for myself. And originally I wasn't really thinking about directing it. But in the process, directing kind of found me.
And the lesson she learned from the experience.
I just want to say to anybody out there who's listening, it's not only about filmmaking. It's whatever you really feel passionate about. I really believe that you can make anything happen.
This has been a conversation with the writer, director, and star of April's Shower, Trish Doolin. April's Shower is currently in theatrical release in the United States through Regent Entertainment and available on Hear Television pay-per-view. For more information on this or other LGBT films, visit PrideOnScreen.com. This is Steve Pride. Thanks for listening.
Hop out of bed, you little sleepyhead. Won't you come out and play? Gonna make you laugh, gonna see you smile, have fun in every way.
Pride on Screen, 2005.
After my operation, I will be a woman.
Summer, I was 8 years old. 5 hours disappeared from my life.
On the night of November 14th, two men broke into a quiet farmhouse in Kansas and murdered an entire family.
The bottom line is, we're around each other and this thing grabs hold of us again.
From Transamerica to Capote to Brokeback Mountain and several significant others, 2005 was a banner year for queer content movies. With copious clips and comments by the filmmakers themselves, you can own Steve Pride's special half-hour review. Log on to thiswayout.org for all the details.
5678.
Hi, this is Bill Condon. Recently wrote this screenplay for Chicago. Knowledge is power, so stay informed by listening to This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
From Ireland to Canada to California by way of Tennessee, this month's journey into the audiophile covers a lot of miles and musical styles.
You are an angel walking. You come through sunlit forests. You have no need to shield your eyes from the light. You are an angel walking. You are radiance and grace.
The incomparable Irish duo Zrazy is back with their fifth album called Dream On. Hi, I'm J.D. Doyle.
I'm Chris Wilson, and you're listening to Audiophile. Maria Walsh and Carol Nelson continue their own excellent blend of jazz, Celtic, and pop music. Carol says this new batch of songs has a unique genesis.
Dream On is, they're all original songs, with the exception of a traditional Irish song that we did a reworking of, and they're songs that we wrote mostly, I think, on tour, how you do when you're on the road, and then you go home and figure them all out. And we recorded with our current band, the lineup we play with in Ireland.
Pack your things, put them in the car, and drive. We don't know where we're going, we don't know who we are, but we never felt more alive. Don't turn around, don't say goodbye. The life we're going to is better than the life we leave behind. Don't think about the risk you're taking. Don't think about the heart you're breaking. Just drive.
Find out more about Zrazy and their album Dream On at www.zrazy.com. That's www.zrazy.com.
It's got to be about love. More than the morning needs the light. More than the love light in your eyes. There must be more. There must be.
It's Got to Be About Love is the title of the sixth album by Canadian singer-songwriter Lucy Blue Tremblay.
In addition to the album containing several of her most loved songs, it also conveys not only the warmth and beauty, but also the message of her music.
It's a CD that was created to celebrate the courage of the GLBT people and their families, as well as the beautiful straight allies who support them.
I think that it's only by being the beautiful people that we are that we can really go out into the world and be out. And I hope that with my art that I've been able to show a small glimpse of what it's really all about, because it's really just about love.
So lucky that I should be in love with someone like you. No one makes me feel the way you do, the way you do. You're making my dreams come true.
You can learn more about the album, It's Got to Be About Love, at www.lucybluetremblay.com. That's www.lucybluetremblay.com.
The second album by Levi Kreis is called One of the Ones.
here we go. Isn't it familiar? I hadn't had someone to talk to in such a long time, and it's strange all we have in common. And your company was just the thing I needed tonight. But somehow I feel I should apologize, 'cause I'm just a little shaken by what's going on inside.
Originally from Eastern Tennessee, he's now in L.A. and making beautifully intimate music about his life and loves.
It's a collection of songs about relationships that I've been in with various guys that I've crushed on or dated or loved with all my heart. I chose to keep it very intimate, the piano and the vocals, and hoping that the human experience that I've gone through is kind of relatable for everyone.
It's a lovely Sunday morning, 'cause you left me without a warning, and I don't know how to make it through this lovely Sunday morning.
Find out more about Levi Kreis and the CD One of the Ones at www.levikreis.com. That's www.levikreis.com.
That's it for this edition of Audiophile. You can write to us at Post Office Box 66648, Houston, Texas 77006, or by visiting our website at www.audiophile.org. That's www.audiofile.org.
Audiophile is produced by J.D. Doyle, Chris Wilson, and Christopher David Trenton. I'm J.D. Doyle.
And I'm Chris Wilson. Keep listening.
And I don't know how to make it through this lonely Sunday morning.
It's a melodious half-hour collection of our Audiophile producers' picks for the best queer-created music of 2005. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can own the Audiophile 2005 Year in Review. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine. This week, Sherry Lund, John Beaupre, Steve Pride, Lex Walkner, Graham Underhill, and Chris Wilson, J.D. Doyle, and Christopher David Trentum contributed program material. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen online to This Way Out exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by direct charitable donations from our listeners. Thank you. Log on to thiswayout.org to find out how you can help keep us on the air and choose from some unique queer history and culture CDs that you can own as our thanks. That's thiswayout.org. To sign up for our weekly emailed program information messages and or our monthly This Way Out updates, email tworadio@aol.com. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. We thank you for listening on Free Radio Asheville, Asheville, North Carolina, KPOV Bend, Oregon, to NUR Newcastle, New South Wales, and more than 150 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. Stay tuned.